before I talk about what he's talking about, I want to talk about all the food we had on Thursday at school. I want to make you hungry. We had our soul food Black History Luncheon. It seemed like everybody, every adult in the building participated. There was food just all over the place. It was just immense. I mean, there was so much food that even if you weren't hungry, you shouldn't walk in there, because you would just want something because it looks so good. And so the principal said, we need to go things because there's going to be a lot of food left. And the desserts, Lenny was so happy when I brought some home to him. But she brought the to-go things and people were in there. I mean, just, you couldn't take it all. You couldn't take it all. There was so much food that there were leftovers. And it got me to thinking, you know, I was working on what I was going to talk about today. And I thought, what if we felt so much of a need for Jesus at the banquet table that it's so filling, that we're so filled with it that we needed to go to a container to take the overflow, right? That give me that, because I got to take that home. That's the kind of hungering for Christ that we're seeking, the kind of hungering of Christ that we need. What he talked about is a privilege for us. It's going to be an absolute privilege for us to take part in it. And I want you to see it that way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the banquet table and for the overflow. And Lord, we thank you for your word and for this time in need of a spiritual fast. Father, when you call your people together, you're not playing. And I just love it. We just pray, God, that you're with us as we hear what we need to hear today, that we take away old ways of thinking, and that we walk in your new way of moving us forward. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm excited about the way that the Lord is moving in this denomination. I'm excited that we get to be part of it. But I'm excited because here's what we know. We don't have to walk forward in fear and timidly. That's not the God we serve. We get to walk forward with the hunger for Jesus in faith, love, and hope is how we walk forward. And that brings a smile to my face. It's not your Old Testament fasting with sackcloth and ashes. It's how we see God and know how we interact with him and how he will respond to us when we move forward in that type of fast. In Ezra, right before verses 21 and 22, before I get to verse 23, he said, I proclaimed a fast there beside the Ahava Canal, a fast to humble ourselves before our God and to pray for wise guidance on our journey, all of the people and possessions. So he called everyone to fast. And here's what he said happened in Ezra 8:23. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Called together corporately to fast. So we fasted, prayed about these concerns, and he listened. He listened and he heard us. We read in the word, when we read those words, I didn't even have to give you the background, because those very words apply right now. So we fasted, gave God our concerns, and he heard us. Because there's something about fasting that draws us closer to God, that makes his ear lean down just a little bit harder. We know he hears us when we pray. We pray every day. We know he hears us, but there's something about humbling ourselves by giving up food. Because you want to know what? It's hard to give up food. We will give up cheese. We'll give up chocolate. We'll give up Facebook. But when you are asked to give up a meal, you feel like you are going to die. I am going to die. I'm not going to make it. I can't make it for one meal. I need lunch at lunchtime. I need breakfast at breakfast, and I need dinner at dinner. God is asking us, do you need me more than that? Do you need me more than that? When we read everywhere, as Greg was talking about, we read everywhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament, how people combined fasting and prayer when it was serious business. And you know, I've talked about it for years, as Renee tells me. It's been a while since I talked about it when I started doing it. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying to do this, to let you know, I see a difference when I did it, when I started it, when I made it a priority. And I encourage you, even in your own lives, and I'll talk about that later, this is a corporate fast. What we're talking about is for a large group, for all of us to join in, which is different a little bit than you bringing your fast need before God and hearing his voice about something personal in your life or someone in your life. And you're actually fasting for them. I'm telling you, there's power. We want to approach fasting from God's perspective, right? That's what we want to do. We heard those words and it was quick. So some of the things I may repeat a little bit, because sometimes you got to hear something twice. But I want to go to Isaiah 58, where he talks about true fasting. True fasting. We've read this in here before, and we're going to go verses 1 through 9. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. Isn't that us? As if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted? They say. And you have not seen it. Lord, we're fasting. Aren't you paying attention? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. I hope ours doesn't. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So early on, when I used to fast when I was younger, when I was in a denomination that had fasting once a year, I just couldn't wait for it to be over. When is the sun going to go down? Because I am going to die. But we had to fast from sundown to sundown. Wow. And they didn't even let you drink water back then. I mean, they would tell you, no water. You know, we're not saying that here. We're not saying that here. God is such a God of mercy and hearing and watching. It's not about fasting from food is the thing. You can go ahead and drink water. Go ahead and drink water. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And everybody said, but did he drink water? What do you care? He went 40 days fasting. 40 days. Let's continue. I'm sorry. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying in sackcloth and ashes, which is what they used to do, and they'd be in the middle of the city? Oh, I'm fasting. Watch me. I'm fasting. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice? Here's what I'm talking about, and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Continue, please. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, I'm stopping there. So as we approach a fast, how are we going to ask God to hear us when we're fighting amongst each other? When we don't pay attention to the poor? When we turn our backs on our family members? Hear my prayer, God, because here I am. How do I expect you to break the yoke that is an oppression in me? I've heard of people fasting and miracles take place. Miracles take place. A woman who had knots in her back for years, went on a fast. And it was she made it for like 3 days. And I don't know what type of fast it was. She probably drank water, but she was feeling on her back on the first day of her fast. And the knots were gone. The knots were gone. We say, that's miraculous. And is it true? And did you touch her back and did you see? I've seen God do things in my own life. Fasting for his will. But there's something about turning to him for that he goes, let me take care of this too. Let me take care of this also. What kind of fast will you be fasting? The fast that we're being asked to do is a spiritual fast. I just like to stress that. We've talked about I'll fast from this, this, and this. Okay. This is different. This is different. And everybody can't do a full-on fast. Everybody can say, I can fast this meal and this meal. Fine. That's between you and God. You don't have to report to me or anybody else. But how much are we hungering for God? How much are we hungering after Jesus that it's worth giving up something like food to see him move in a dramatic fashion in our lives? For him to hear our prayers. And then he answered. I wonder, Renee was talking about Jehoshaphat. And I was going back to that. One of my favorite Bible passages is that 2 Chronicles 20. And the vast army was coming in on him. And the fact that he was alarmed, he decided he would inquire of the Lord. I love that word. He was scared. Have you gotten to the point of where you're scared about something or a situation in your life? So he decided he would inquire of the Lord, and he calls all of Judah to fast. All of Judah. So people came together from every town to seek help from the Lord. And the answer came through a worshiper. Somebody that was just in the crowd. I love that. This person's just in the crowd and they start speaking. I said, what is that amplification system that in a crowd of people, suddenly a voice is heard? But God. And he said, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid to stand firm because this battle was not theirs. This battle belongs to the Lord. That's why I'm smiling, because as our church faces different things that we're facing, like smaller congregations, this is nothing new to any church situation, to any denomination. It happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. But we decided that we're going to fast and pray about it, to bring the entire United States congregations, to invite them to be part of this. That's pretty big if you think about it. I pray that somebody during every day of this fast leading up to Easter, during every day, somewhere in the United States, someone's fasting. Someone's praying about GCI. in our denomination and the route that we're to take. They've got decisions to make. But I know, and you know, who's in charge. Who's in charge? Thank you. I love the story of Esther. This is Women's History Month, and this is a historic woman. I love Esther. Esther knew that it wasn't really about her beauty, but about her God. She is the one who said to her uncle, I'm going to need y'all to fast. I need you to call everybody together, and I'm going to need you to fast for 3 days. I don't know how she got 3 days. But she was going to have to go before the king. And you know that if the king didn't hold out his scepter to her because she didn't have an audience with him, because you just can't go before the king and say, hey, I want to meet up, no matter how cute you are. If he doesn't hold out a scepter, she would be executed. So she said, fast before I go to him. And then she knew that the answer would just be the answer. And she says, if I perish, I perish. But I know I've got to do this to save my people. And she says, not only you're going to fast, she says, but I'm going to fast and my attendants are going to fast. We're all being part of this. And when she goes up to the king, out goes the scepter. And she tells him the deal. And it ends up that the person who planned to hang Mordecai and to get rid of all the Jewish people, he ends up hanging from the very gallows he built for somebody else. That's what I love about God. The very trap that somebody will set for you, when you talk to God, he'll have them. I've said this to people who said this person at work is bothering them. I said, don't you know you'll have their job in a minute? Or God will move you. He'll move them. But I've seen how God will put people in the position over the person that was causing them the most pain. Because we're going for God's ear. We're going to walk in the way of the Lord. Everybody's not doing that. There's power in fasting. In the New Testament, talked about when you fast. When you fast. And Jesus said that you would fast, because remember how the people came to Jesus and they said, hey, we're fasting. Why aren't they? He says, why are you going to fast when the bridegroom is with you? He says, but when I'm gone, you will fast. Hint, when I'm gone, you will fast. In those days, they will fast. He said, in those days. Let's talk about people who fasted. Anna fasted for the redemption of Jerusalem through the coming Messiah. That's in Luke 2. Jesus fasted 40 days. We knew all about that in Matthew 4. The disciples of John the Baptist fasted. The elders in Antioch fasted before sending Paul and Barnabas out. Cornelius fasted and sought God's plan for salvation in Acts 10. Paul fasted 3 days after he lost his sight in the Damascus experience. He couldn't eat. Paul again fasted 14 days while at sea on a sinking ship. And by the way, they made it in. Not one perished. They all fasted, as a matter of fact. He had to tell them to eat at 14 days. Y'all, come on. And they had a ship full of food. Fasting directs our hunger toward God. It clears our mind and our body of earthly attention to things. And it draws us closer to God so that we can gain spiritual clarity. So it's not a diet. That's a different kind of fast. And it's one that works, by the way, intermittent fasting. It's different. We're asking for a spiritual fast. It allows God to hear us even more clearly, to hear that we are really pouring out, but it allows us to hear God more clearly. What are you going to fast? First, if you're one of those people who know that the doctor said, don't ever do it, don't do it. Do something different. If you need a doctor's permission, tell them what your plan is. Do it. I don't want you to go against anything that's going to make you like fall out, and then the last words are, "Pastor Tamar told me to fast." Now, if you are able, if you could give up breakfast, lunch, dinner for a day, and then at the end of the dinner time, go eat. But here's the thing. It can't be the normal day of fighting. Okay, I'm giving up food. Let's keep going. It's about the prayer and the fasting. So you pray during that day. So don't just say, tomorrow I'm going to do it. Plan it. We've got plenty of time. Maybe it's when you're at home and don't have to be anywhere. And you can lay down in the bed because you're weak. I don't do well, super well, fasting in front of my kids. It's like, oh, I'm weak. I should have stayed home. But when I'm at home, I can play music, can pray when I want to. No TV. I don't want the distraction. Can read God's word. Be amazed at when I open it, how it applies to what I'm doing right at that moment. Amazing. You may not be able to do a full fast. Like I said, it might be that you have to have a little something of something. God will honor because your heart is there. What is God asking you to do? And what are you willing to do? What do I hunger for you more than this delicious food that's in front of me? Do I need to hear from you more? It's not a way to earn God's favor. It's really not. Or to have him do something for us. That's not what it's about. It's about hearing from him. Rather, the purpose is to produce a transformation in us. We're not fasting for God. We're fasting for us to hear. And when we come together and fast as a group, imagine the power of it all. And we understand our dependence is upon God. I love in Second Chronicles where Jehoshaphat said, "We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you." I don't know what to do. Have you come to that point in your life about different situations also? Because I'm saying you can do one fast for this situation, then pick another fast for some situation in your life that's serious. And I will say this, for someone in your life. I heard about a family of kids who fasted for their father who was ill. And the thing is, they didn't even know as much as you do. And I do. They just knew my father's very sick. Our father's very sick. The sister called the brothers and said, "I'm going to fast for dad. I'm going to fast for dad." And so the brothers, okay, we'll join you. The father was healed, but was it because they fasted or is it because they were listening for his will? And he wanted to show them something. Maybe it's not for you, you're fasting. Maybe it's for someone else, and you don't need to tell them. Just watch God move. Again, it's never a public display. When it's by yourself, no, please don't go downtown Cleveland and sit with sackcloth and ashes. I am fasting, I am fasting. Why aren't you? Why aren't you? But when it's a corporate fast, we know we're fasting. We're all fasting, same purpose, moving forward. It's not like everyone has to know. And what God sees in secret, he will reward openly. And while in the Old Testament, it was a sign of mourning, when you look at the New Testament, it's not so much mourning as it is hearing, rejoicing, knowing who Jesus is, knowing where you're going, knowing who you're talking to, knowing the connection through the power of the Holy Spirit that you have. We're being asked to take part in something super special for such a time as this. We want to hear from God. We want clarity. Are you willing? You don't have to say anything out loud. Are you willing to take a day to fast for GCI, to hunger for Jesus? We are in a time in the history of the church, just like in all other historic times, something happens in the church. The church changes, the church moves, but God stays the same. We get to be part of that. We're going to seek Jesus. We're going to seek the Father. We're going to ask for that guidance, and we're going to look for it with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Thank you. That brings us to communion. What a great time to take communion, right before you make a decision if you're going to fast. Back in my day, when I was younger, you were commanded to fast. In Israel, there were certain times when they did fast. They were commanded. But in the New Testament, it's not a command. It's a when you fast. Communion has juice and it has wine. I'm going to have Bob play a song for us as we reflect, and you can pray as you listen to the song, on the holiness of God and how we get to be part of that, how we get to be part of that.